We're in the book of Romans. And chapter 5 starts out with, well, it starts out with a word. What?
Therefore.
Therefore. And we say, what's, you haven't even been here and you're ahead of the class. What's that therefore? And the reason that's there is because what was said in chapter 4. As he ended chapter 4, if you'll recall, he talked about that Abraham believed God and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. But not for him also, he said, but for all those who believe. And then he goes on to say that believe in Jesus Christ, and well, it actually says believe on God who raised Jesus Christ from the dead. That's the actual words, but I'm trying to go quicker. And he says, and who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again. Now, what does that mean, raised again? Well, that word again, does anybody remember the verse in the Bible that says that you must be born again? The word again is what we call a creative word. Now, I realize that Jesus was buried in a body that was sinless. But he was raised to a body that was glorified. Now, the reason that was because one of these days we'll be buried in a sinful body. But we'll be raised again or created again in a glorified body, because that's what the Bible says. He says that we will have a body fashioned like unto his glorious body. So that's what we have to look forward to. That's what we have to look forward to. So he says that he was delivered. He was given up. They didn't come and take him. God delivered him into their hands. And then God raised him up again from the dead. And then it says, therefore. Since you have that wonderful news, therefore being justified by faith. Well, y'all are getting this. Aren't I tell you what, y'all, and nobody's looking at their Bible. Isn't this wonderful? Therefore being justified by faith, we have. if y'all do this quicker, it goes better. We have peace with God. How? Tell it. You've done told it. In whom? In whom? The whom there refers back to someone, doesn't it? Hey? Who is the whom? Jesus Christ. I'd have to teach you English class and everything else in here. In whom refers back to the noun. Jesus Christ, in whom we have are you reading this?
Yeah.
Oh, all my bragging for nothing. In whom we have access. And remember, I gave you a great illustration of the word access. Anybody remember that great illustration that I gave? You see what I suffer with, John? Do you see? You see what I suffer with? I'm going to start teaching the young class. Maybe they'll remember that. No, I'm just teasing. I love my class. I love my class. We have access. Remember, I gave you the key at the hotel. You go in and check in at the hotel, and they say, you're in room 210. But you just can't walk up and go into 210 because 210 is locked. And if you don't have something to give you access into 210, bless God, you'll have to break the door down. You might could break the door down there, but you won't break God's door down. You only get access into God one way, and that's Jesus Christ. In whom? That's the whom. In whom we have access into. And if you notice, there's a definitive article word there. Into this. This. Not just any. This grace. Wherein we stand and rejoice in the glory of God. Now, isn't that wonderful? We call that, starts with an S, the next letter's A, the next letter's L. Thank you. We call that salvation. See, salvation is not a religious term. Therefore, religion can't give you salvation. A denomination can't give you salvation. A preacher can't give you salvation. He can point you to salvation, if he uses this, but he can't give it to you. You only have access through Jesus Christ, right? That's the only way in which you have access into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the glory of God, right? So, I wanted to talk to you very briefly, and then I'm going to move on, about a word there. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have... Lord, mercy, I tell you what. It's a good thing they don't give you all a test. Everybody in here would fail that memory test, and they'd commit everybody. What? We have peace. What does it say? Yeah, look, I don't want peace with Mila. I love Mila. But I don't want peace with Mila. I don't want peace with you. I don't want peace with Dwayne. I don't want peace with the Baptist church. I want peace with God. Because listen, if you're not at peace with God, what does that mean? Well, later on, when I get there, there's a verse that says that we are, that while we were yet enemies. Listen, if Doris is my enemy, am I at peace with her? Well, no. Listen, if Russia is our enemy, are we at peace with you? Say, well, Tom, we're not bombing each other. That doesn't mean a thing, folks. Listen, we're not at peace with Russia. We're at odds with Russia. We're at odds with China. We're at odds with everybody that's not us. Well, let me tell you, the whole world, W-H-O-L-E, what does that word mean? Huh? What'd you say, honey? See why she's my assistant? Do you see why I chose her as the assistant? She's a very smart, intelligent woman. Listen, if I said to you, I eat part of the cake you baked, I can't say I eat the whole thing, right? If I leave that much of the cake that Nancy cooks, that coconut cake, if I leave that much, I can't go tell Helen, oh, Helen, you won't be, Nancy gave me a cake and I eat the whole thing. I'd be lying through my teeth. Because whole means all. That means nothing is left. You say, well, why is that important? Well, when I say that the whole world is the enemy of God, that means that the whole world, every single person, is the enemy of God until they're not. Now, in a few verses, he's going to tell us, bless God, how that happens. But here I'm going to talk about the peace. Now, can anyone other than Helen Anderson tell me what Isaiah 26 and 3 says? Now, the reason I don't let her answer is because that's her verse. And I guarantee she could tell me. And she can tell me because that's her verse, and that's her verse because that's what she has latched on to in life. So can anyone else tell me what it says? I've given it to you many, many times. But in this class, that means nothing. I could have given it to you 5 minutes ago, and in this class, that means nothing. That's why I love this class. I can teach the same thing every week, and everybody says, boy, wasn't that a good lesson? I do teach the same thing, as you know. I do. Listen, I teach the same thing. There's not but one thing to teach. It says this, he will keep him. Now, if you notice the him there, it doesn't say he will keep them. It says he will keep him in perfect peace, whose heart or mind is stayed, fixed. You know what the Bible says? Looking unto Jesus. Jesus said this. He says, I have set my face as flint. I have one purpose and one purpose only. I'm going to Jerusalem for one reason and one reason only, to die. And he says he will keep him in perfect peace whose heart or mind is stayed on. Well, you're reading it now. John, finish it up. Now, did you notice how he finished that out? He didn't stop there that he would keep in perfect peace him whose mind is stayed on God, but he finishes it. And who trusteth in him. I can remember old weeks ago, I was talking with Pam, and Pam's had such a struggle. Oh, boy, if you've seen her, I mean, she's just been so sick with that vial thing and just tried every medicine known to man. And I'd say, honey, why don't you just have surgery? Why don't you just let them cut that diseased colon out? Oh, no. No, they've got another medicine. I never will. And I don't take, look, she wouldn't care if I talk this because this is the truth. And she kept trying medicines. And she'd come in here, you know how she'd come in here, sick, sick, sick. You could see the weight coming off of her. You could see the paleness in her face. She's here, though, bless God. We've got people, healthy as a gourd won't get here, but she'd get here and have her little path. And I was praying this morning for her, and I said, Lord, won't it be great when she gets back and she's making notes? Because, hey, she wrote down, I don't care, she'd write notes the whole time she's here on what she's teaching on or preaching on. And finally, about a week and a half ago, I said, honey, please talk to the surgeon. I said, I know you've got this thing in your mind that this is terrible, but I said, it can help you. It can help you. So she sent me a text. She said, I've got an appointment with a surgeon. You know, the Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. Anybody know that? Well, it does say that. Take my word for it. Do you know that God not only got her to do that? You know who the surgeon was that he sent her to? Bless God, the best surgeon they is around within 500 miles. Connie Pennington. And Connie Pennington never has a surgery nor never visits with a patient that she first don't pray with them. She's a great surgeon, but she's relying on the great physician. And isn't that great that God would send his child to a blessed God, the best surgeon around that'll pray to him? And you know, after she talked with her, she said, "Oh, Tom, she prayed with me. I just love her." And she says, "I'm going to do it." And she says, this is what I'm talking about, "I'm at peace with it." She wasn't at odds with it anymore. She had a peace about it. Now, where do you think that peace came from? Well, it came from God. There's no doubt in my mind of that. I talked with her. I knew the fear in her. I could see the fear in her. She didn't want, she feared the surgery. But then after she gave it over to God, she says, "I've got a peace about it. He will keep him in perfect peace." Glory, I don't know if y'all like it or not. I sort of like to dwell out there. Hang on to that just a little bit. "He will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on him and who trusteth him." So, turn to Proverbs 3. I believe that's where it is. If it's not, I'll have to tell you about it. Sometimes I forget where it's at, but this time I didn't. This time I didn't. Look, if you will, up here at not where I wanted to go. I tell you what, boy, when you lose your mind, you've lost your mind. Now look at 13. Look at verse 13. "Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it," now the merchandise of it, what is it there? Wisdom and understanding. "For the merchandise," or the value, that's what merchandise means, the value of it, right? I mean, we buy something for its value. Sometimes we overvalue things and undervalue things, but it means value. He says, "For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of," it's more valuable than silver, and it's more valuable than, now you know why I like that song, "He is to me more precious than gold. His love doth ever unfold. She is more precious than rubies." And who is she? Y'all are starting to get it. "She is more precious than rubies. And all the things that thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her." You can't compare anything to wisdom and understanding. Its value exceeds everything. "Length of days is in her right hand." You say, "Does that mean I'm going to live a long life?" Bless God, that's what it says. "And in her left hand, riches and honor." Well, you mean I'm going to be rich and honored? That's what it says. Look, I'm just telling you what it says. "Her ways are ways of..." Does that mean I'm going to live a pleasant life? That's what it says. "And all her paths are..." How many of you like a peaceful life? Well, if you don't like a peaceful life, you're sick. I mean, you know, there's a word. There's a word. Thank you, Father. There's a word. And it's a modern day term. It's a modern day term. Spare me the drama. Huh? You know what that means, don't you? You know, spare me all this turmoil. I don't know how people live these drama-filled lives. I mean, they're here, they're there, they're here. They're everywhere. They're looking everywhere for peace. But the Bible says very plainly, there is no peace for the wicked. You're looking for something you're never going to find. You're just going to live a drama-filled life. But if you have wisdom and understanding, all the paths of wisdom and understanding are... Boy, I tell you what. She's as sharp as... Man. That girl is sharp. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her. Well, everybody in here knows about the tree of life, don't you? Huh? You know that tree of life that's in the garden of God? That's around the throne, that's by the crystal sea, that bears fruit every month for the healing of the people. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon. Well, wait a minute. Now we've come to just a slight problem, haven't we? This is only true to them that... Well, I'm going to come over here since you answered me. Paraphrase that for me, honey.
Well, if it's in front of you, it's like taking the horse to water. You can take somebody to water, but you can't...
No, I'm talking about taking hold. Taking hold. Let me ask you this. When you get married, what does the preacher say to do? Join hands. Take hold of her. Take hold of her. Take hold of him. And you know what he says after that? Oh, to have and to... I know in this world we're in now. Listen, bless God, over 50% of marriages end in divorce. Isn't that a shame? You know why? Because it didn't take hold. It's sort of like a car. When you buy a new car, I'm the world's worst at it. I've never had a car with 50,000 miles on it. You know why? Because when the newness wears off, I want another car. I can't smell the newness anymore. I can't feel like it's new to me. It just don't drive tight enough for me. It just wearing off. You know why I didn't lay hold of it? But if you lay hold of wisdom and understanding, it says, all your paths are peace. And you will have the tree of life and happy. Everybody wants to be happy, don't they? Don't give me a sad life. You know the reason that people get hooked on drugs and alcohol and various other different addictions? You know why? What are they looking for? Y'all know that old secular song, don't you? Looking for
love in all the wrong places.
Looking for love in all the wrong places. But if you lay, well, honey, that's okay. I don't criticize you for that. Might be good that you don't. But if you want to be happy, You have to lay hold onto wisdom and understanding. Now, I want you to give me a one-word synonym for wisdom and understanding. Starts with an S. Thank you. You would know that immediately because for months on top of months, that's been our theme. We're trying to not only know salvation, but know what salvation is to us and how we got salvation. You say, well, Tom, it never did tell me. It just explained all the goodness of wisdom and understanding. It never told me how I could get it. I mean, it'd sort of be like me saying, Myla, I know where $100,000 is you can have.
Where is it?
Thank you. How much would it mean to you if I tell you, I know where it is, and then to walk away? I've not told her anything that'll help her. I've not told her at all. So unless somehow we can figure out how we get this wisdom and understanding that brings us peace, and the paths are peace, and the ways are peace, and we see the tree of life, and all these, and we're happy in the Lord. All these things. It makes no difference unless we know how. Well, I should have started in verse 1, shouldn't I? Because anytime you start in the middle of the verse, you're going to pass over what it says. It says this, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my... You want wisdom and understanding? It's right here. You say, so Tom, if I just read this all the time, am I going to have wisdom and understanding? You can read this till you're blue in the face. If you know the Word of God, but don't know the God of the Word, you just know words. You're like a lot of people. You're just a smart theologian. But if you know the God of the Word, then you know the Word of the God, of God. Then he says this, for length of days and long life and peace shall they, what's they? The law and the commandments. And the law and the commandments, one synonym for the law and the commandment is, starts with a W, second letter is O, thank you, the Word. Well, wouldn't it be good, Becky, since you're looking at me so big-eyed and you're sort of look like you're lost just a little bit, not really, but where I'm at. Since we know that the Word is what delivers the wisdom and understanding which delivers all these blessings that we talked about, how do we know the Word?
Through faith.
Huh?
Through faith with God.
Well.
Through the Spirit. Yeah,
through the Holy Spirit. Well, no. No. No, you could read that book all you want to, but you won't get what y'all just said.
You got to know the author.
Oh, wait a minute. Well, who is the author of the Word?
God.
No. Although, yes, but no. Well, yes, but no. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. You're all right. But to make my point, listen, you'll never know the Word without knowing the Word. I hope that don't complicate it. If you don't know the word, you don't have wisdom and understanding, because he says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. If you don't start there, you'll never know peace with God. And you'll never know the peace of God. There is a distinct difference, my friend. Peace with God means you're no longer his enemy. Peace of God means that whatever comes down your path, you can have peace with it because you belong to him. So he says, therefore, being justified, back to Romans, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, in whom we have access into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the glory of God. Huh? Well, if you chase that word down, you'll see that that word hope there means dignity, divinity, glory, honor, praise. That's what belongs to him. But then he says this. And not only so, not only that, you know, that's sort of like, whoo, boy, Tom, you took me up into the heavens. I mean, man, you had me up there by the throne. I was feeling good. But you know that old saying? What goes up? You know, at some point you have to realize you're back here. You're still here. Just ask Will. Will's still here. Just ask Pam. She's still here. Just ask Nancy. She's still here. He says, whom also we... Now, what did I say that word meant? Well, it's far different from the other, because it means to boast. It's a different Greek word entirely. So it says this. We boast in something, which means we're proud of it. Now follow this, because you're back on earth now, right? He says, in whom we boast of tribulation. Now, there are several meanings for that word. One is trouble. Listen, anybody don't think Will's in trouble? You're badly mistaken. Oh, I know if you go and talk to him, he'll lift you up, because bless God, he's like that song. I told him the other day, I said, now you know why that's my favorite song now? I'll be living in the promised land. It's good to know that. You know, it's good to know that if you ever come visit me, and right there is where I'll be, bless God, I won't be up here, no funeral home. I'm going to be right there. Done told my wife. Lay me out, bless God, where I stood up. Lay me out right there. But when you walk by, he's got on his dancing shoes. Feels too good to stop. Huh? He's living in the promised. Listen, you don't have that unless you're justified, unless you're saved. You don't have that promise. No, I don't care if the world says, oh, they're up there looking down. Don't buy into that. First of all, they're not up there looking down on us. You won't find that anywhere in Scripture. I'll tell you where they are. They're around that throne. Bless God, they're praising the one who got them there. Huh? Now, look, don't get me wrong. I don't mean to be mean. I know everyone that's a loved one has passed away, I know that makes them feel good. I do. And I don't want to make anybody feel bad. I'll tell you what will make you feel bad is leaving this world without Christ. It won't matter how they feel behind you. It's how you're going to feel. So he says, we boast of tribulation, of trouble, of trials, of persecutions. We boast in that. Why? Why in the world would you want to boast of trouble in